There are a number of places in the gospel where it talks about our Lord having compassion on those around him or those he sees or on the city of Jerusalem and so on. And the lectionary translation for today's reading, instead of talking about him having compassion, it says that his heart was moved with pity. And it kind of helps understand what it means to have compassion for someone. You know, compassion means to share with their passion, their suffering. And to have pity on someone really is doing that. You know, we oftentimes will say, well, don't have pity on me. Well, no, we should have pity when someone is suffering. We should want to join in as much as we can to help ease their suffering, to share their suffering. And so that's what our Lord was doing. He had passion. He had sorrow for the suffering that he saw. He had compassion on them. His heart was moved with pity. Now, that didn't end when our Lord went into heaven. He didn't stop having pity on us, having compassion for us. He continues to this day. He continues to have compassion for us. He continues to want to ease our suffering, to share in our sorrows. And we see this the most clearly with his Sacred Heart. You know, when you look at images of the Sacred Heart, like the statue over here, you will notice some things about the heart. Whether it is our statue or it's like an image you might have at home or you might have seen elsewhere, one of the first things that's really striking about it is his heart is on fire. It's burning, whether it's like rays around the heart or a fire on top of the heart. Somewhere there is going to be a symbol of fire. And of course, this is his heart burning with love for us. Is his divine love is so strong, it's like fire burning. Burning for love for us, that we might share in that love. But we also see the crown of thorns to show the suffering that he underwent, that he took on for us, his passion and death. And then the third thing you will notice is at the bottom of the heart, there's often a little tear, a little cut. And of course, that's where the lance that the soldier pierced our Lord's side went in. And then the blood and water came pouring out of his side, showing that openness that he has for us. It's that same spot that when we look at the Divine Mercy image, that we see the red and white rays, that his divine mercy flows from his Sacred Heart. There's a connection between the two images, that his divine mercy is his divine love poured down upon us. And so today we are celebrating, as the parish of Sacred Heart, the external solemnity, the moved solemnity, which we can do because this is our parish of Sacred Heart. Our parish is dedicated to the Sacred Heart. We are celebrating the feast of the solemnity of the Sacred Heart. We are celebrating that devotion to our Lord's Sacred Heart, to his heart that is so on fire for us. Now, the modern devotion, what we think of as the Sacred Heart devotion, comes really from the 17th century. It goes much earlier than that. But the modern understanding that we have for it goes to the 17th century France by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. I know I just slaughtered her name, but St. Margaret Mary, I'm just going to call her that for the rest of the homily to make it easier. But it comes from her. She was a visitation nun who had apparitions, visions of our Lord and his Sacred Heart. And she was given the message of the Sacred Heart back then to proclaim to the whole world. Now, as I said, she was a religious sister. She was a visitation sister. And she had many difficulties in her life. Some were physical. For example, she was ill for 4 years. And when she dedicated her life to Christ, the illness miraculously went away. Now, at that time, I was just reminded of this earlier today. At that time, her family had gotten some property and some money back that had been taken from them. And so she kind of wanted to renege on her promise. And our Lord came and said, you promised, you better do this. Paraphrasing, of course. So she entered this visitation monastery, this visitation convent. And some of her suffering was she wasn't believed by many, even in her own community. Many in her own community didn't believe that she had apparitions, visions of our Lord. But she had one confessor, one priest, who himself is a canonized saint, who did believe. And he was able to get the ball rolling that eventually, 75 years after her death, her apparitions were recognized as legitimate. That's by the way, that's a good message for those who may have a particular unimproved apparition or another. Be patient. It may eventually get approved. Not always a guarantee. But be patient. Don't push it too much now. And hopefully someday it will be approved. So I'm not picking any particular unapproved apparition, but there are a number of them out there that people like to really promote. And I think we need to be careful and be patient and let the work of the church show us which ones are valid and which ones aren't, and not by popular acclaim. But that's just kind of an aside, because there was a time when what we consider the Sacred Heart devotions were unapproved, but now they are. Now they're valid. Now we can follow them. This image of our Lord's Sacred Heart is a reminder for us of the deep love that our Lord has for us. And the reason why this particular image was given at the time it was, these particular devotions were given at the time it was, there was a strong movement, especially in France, to view God as a stern judge. And you've probably seen images like this, or mockeries of God in images like this, where he's, you know, old man with the big beard and the crown, and he's got the big book that he's writing in everything you've ever done wrong. That's not who God is. That's not who our Heavenly Father is. And the image of the Sacred Heart was given to us to remind us that he isn't this stern judge. Instead, he's a loving father. A loving father who sent his son to give his life for us. That Jesus loved us so deeply, he gave his life for us. And that God wants us to spend eternity with him. He doesn't want to find every fault that we have. Instead, he wants us to be united with us. Wants to be united with us. As an aside, you know, today is Father's Day. And it really, the Sacred Heart is an image for our fathers. How fathers should love their children. I'll get into that here in just a second. So it's appropriate that we are celebrating the Sacred Heart on Father's Day, because it is an image for fathers. Because this Sacred Heart, as I said, you always see it surrounded with fire, or with fire on top of it, that it is on fire. It is lit with the fire of God's divine love. It's a heart that burns for each and every one of us. It's a heart that loves us so much that he became one of us, that Jesus became one of us. It's a heart that is so on fire for us that he gave his very life for us. We see this in the second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That whole passage from Romans talks about how deeply God loves us. How deeply that he loves us. How deeply Christ's Sacred Heart burns for us. And then after he died for us and rose again, he ascended into heaven out of love for us to open the gates of heaven so that we might enter into that eternal kingdom, that we might be united in heaven with that Sacred Heart. Because that heart, that Sacred Heart, unites for us to join our hearts with his. Join our love with the divine love that he has for us. And so that Sacred Heart is calling us to seek to know our Lord and to follow him with our lives, to really entrust our lives with his Sacred Heart, to entrust our lives to his divine love that flows from that Sacred Heart by responding to his love with our own. And we do this, of course, by reflecting on his love, by spending time in prayer, especially before an image of the Sacred Heart, to reflect on that divine love that he has for us, on what that means for us, on sharing our love with his, by expressions of that love, by, again, spending time with him, by following his teachings, and, of course, by sharing his love with others. That when we receive his divine love, we don't hang on to it, but we go out and we love our neighbor as we are called to share that divine love with those around us. Ultimately, entrusting ourselves to the Sacred Heart means putting our trust completely in him, and not ourselves, but in him. Now, as I mentioned, St. Margaret Mary received devotions, what we call the devotion to the Sacred Heart. This devotion for some time was unapproved, but eventually it was approved and is approved still to this day. And probably the most well-known, I would argue, devotion within the Sacred Heart, devotion to the Sacred Heart, is the First Fridays. It's every first Friday of the month, attending Mass and receive Holy Communion to unite ourselves with the Sacred Heart. Because, of course, we believe that the Eucharist is our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that we are receiving the body of Christ. Well, of course, part of his body is his Sacred Heart. It is not distinct from him. It is not unique or separated from him. And so we are uniting ourselves to his Sacred Heart by receiving him on Holy Communion on these first Fridays. But there's more to this devotion. There's also doing Eucharistic adoration or a holy hour, spending an hour in prayer before our Lord in the Eucharist, whether it is via monstrance, you know, doing having the Eucharist exposed in the monstrance, or even just in front of the tabernacle every Thursday. This idea of a holy hour really kind of comes from our Lord's passion, his agony in the garden, where he brings Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him, up the hill with him. And he asks them to pray while he is going to pray. Stand watch while I'm praying. And of course, like most of us humans, what do Peter, James, and John do? They fall asleep. And our Lord says, "Can you not stay awake for 1 hour with me?" That is what a holy hour is. It is staying awake with our Lord for 1 hour a week. So that's part of it. And then the third one, well, this one's easy for you guys today. The third one is celebrating the Feast of the Sacred Heart, which we're doing. So you got that part done. You got one third of the devotion taken care of. But it's to every year when this Feast of the Sacred Heart comes around to make the point to celebrate it. Obviously, attending Mass is the best way we can celebrate it, but praying litany and so on. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Another part of this devotion that used to be more common, I think, than it is today, is to enthrone an image of the Sacred Heart in our homes. You may remember doing that. You may have even done that, where we would put an image of our Lord. And there's a very popular one that if I could show it to you, you would recognize it instantly. Because it was very popular not that long ago to see this particular image. You know, shows he's got a smile on his face and he's touching his Sacred Heart. And this is to place this image of the Sacred Heart, to put our Lord in the center of our family and to entrust our family to his Sacred Heart, to this love that he has for us. And to go with that, there is a prayer of consecration which Margaret Mary herself, St. Margaret Mary herself wrote. And if you look on the sheet that was handed out with the litany, on the back of it, there is that prayer of consecration. So if you can get you could do that without the image. But of course, if you can get an image of the Sacred Heart and put it up on your wall and pray that prayer of consecration, that is really enthroning the Sacred Heart in your family. Now, the third part of the devotion to the Sacred Heart is something that is actually rather pressing today. And it is called reparation to the Sacred Heart. It is repairing sacrilege and blasphemy and mockery of our Lord's Sacred Heart, of his divine love. And I say it is really pressing because we live in a culture that openly mocks and reviles our Lord, openly mocks and reviles his church, and rejects his divine love. And the clearest example of this is something that just happened Friday, which, by the way, Friday was the traditional day of the Sacred Heart. That's the day that it normally is. It's the Friday after Corpus Christi, which is two Sundays after Pentecost. Try to remember that. That's why we have the books to tell us what day to do things. But Friday is the traditional feast. That's the day we would normally celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, first of all, Los Angeles was named for Our Lady of the Angels, shortened down to the Angels. That's what Los Angeles means in Spanish, the Angels. So the team that is named for the Angels, but not the California Angels, that's another story. The team that was named for Our Lady of the Angels honored a group called, and not just had them present, but actually honored this group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is a drag queen group. So these are men who dress up as women and do so, of course, in mockery, first of all, of women. But then on this Friday, this particular Sacred Heart Friday, they were honored, and they dress up as religious sisters in mockery of religious sisters, nuns. So they wear habits that are in mockery of real religious habits. And they put on plays and performances that are so disgusting. I can't even talk about them here other to say their blasphemy and their mockery of our Lord. And this is the group that the Los Angeles Dodgers chose to honor on Sacred Heart Friday. And so the U.S. bishops have asked us to pray the litany of the Sacred Heart in reparation, to repair for the mockery and blasphemy that they have done. And so we will. At the end of Mass, the reason why I had those printed out is we will get after the procession, I'll come back up, and we will pray the litany of the Sacred Heart together as a community to repair for the blasphemy that the Los Angeles Dodgers and so many others in our culture. This is one example of so much that goes on in our world today that is a mockery of our Lord and his Sacred Heart, his divine love. So we undertake prayer and penance for the conversion of the world and to repair that blasphemy. So I encourage you with that sheet that I passed out with both the consecration prayer and the litany to not just pray it today, continue to pray the litany of the Sacred Heart. Consecrate your lives to the Sacred Heart through that prayer. Because ultimately the message of the Sacred Heart is the message of Christ's love for us, Jesus' love for us. That compassion that he has for us, the fact that he is moved with pity for us. It's a reminder that his Sacred Heart does burn out of love for us, that it is open for us, that it suffered for us. May we on this Feast of the Divine Mercy, a Sacred Heart, be as deeply in love with him as he is through his Sacred Heart.